Nimrod?
Yes, I am.
All right, Tuesday, April 16th, 2019, Public Works Committee meeting. There's a bunch of people here, but it doesn't matter because Ken Cook is here.
Gee, thanks.
Hey, when you're important, you're important.
Chop liver is a
Yeah, you're all chop liver.
I think we're all chop liver today. For Ken Cook Day, citizens' comments. Bearing none, that means it is still Ken Cook Day. Minutes for correction approval from March 19th, 2019. Comments, corrections?
Good.
I agree. I think it was a good one.
Myra's always just
All right.
Thanks.
New business, Public Works 2019-22, snow operations report, year-end report, or is it?
Yes. We made it official yesterday, or Sunday, I believe. Actually, we had a good year, besides the trucks breaking down. We really, mailboxes were down. We, salt was up, but that was, yeah, no. Mailbox numbers reported down, sorry.
Like a lot.
Yeah. Yep, the snow was lighter, it was colder. So it really makes a big difference.
How's our struck by city vehicles?
Oh, that's actually good. Usually that's backing up in a cul-de-sac.
Is it down? Or?
Yeah, it should be about the same. Usually it's about the same because the guys are really good.
Usually it's less than five.
Yeah, they'll come in and say, hey, I got one.
Yep.
They're very good. But really the key I thought was the mileage. Tracking the mileage, 11,000 on just the big truck. So we're probably putting over 20,000 miles on plowing snow every year with the pickup trucks and the big trucks included. There's only 120 lane miles of road in town, so that's how many times we went over it.
Man.
And that's why sometimes the roads are not in good shape in the spring.
Mm-hmm. My roads look great. So you
they will for five more years.
Houston still sucks.
Yeah, it really took a beating, didn't it?
It's scary. You could, like, lose control going up it.
Going southbound is not fun. I did see that. We will have to address that. Yeah, just the
first part, or when you're up a little bit?
No, just the
southbound
there's
lane.
Like a line. It's like the width.
Really?
Half of it.
Yeah, we should probably bump that up a little bit.
It was going last year,
okay.
So it would have gotten counted. Yes, it would have gotten counted.
Honestly, I think it's worse than when you did it how many years ago?
07.
Yeah.
It was 07 already.
By then, going up is bad.
We have noticed that most of the 07 pavement is...
Yeah, there's something in that pavement.
Any questions on snow operation?
Nope, I just like the summary.
Thank you. We will continue to do that.
Any other comments or questions on snow?
Hope it is gone.
Yeah, good job on Sunday. Yeah. And we had like three phone calls, and all of them were like, you're not really going to send them out, are you? Number one, it ain't my call. Number two, I would hope not. Good.
Just had to wait it out.
Public Works 2019-23 Water Department reports for January, February, and March 2019.
Again, pretty normal reports. We did have some water main breaks, so we did count those on the end there and did some estimated losses, which is hard to believe that you can lose that much out of a crack in a pipe. These will have to go forward. We have to approve these as part of our IEPA.
As far as main breaks, do you ever know the year that the original main was installed so you can kind of compare?
Most of the time. Mm-hmm. Like the East Main in Colton was like 1963.
Damn.
Sunset was 74. And I think, what was the other one? What was the third one?
We do have a layer. We track. Eric provides us with the break information, and then we also have it layered based on decade installed. So we can certainly provide an updated map at some point if you all would like.
How old is Countryside Parkway?
Countryside Parkway is one piece out of three we did not replace in the entire countryside. There was that stretch, I'm sorry, or the rear yards between and the big sections we did not replace either.
Yeah, that'd be a fun statistic to find out what we have just in gradual improvements. But it's not something you go out and replace them just because you should.
No, it's end of life, yeah. It really is. It's hard to see now, but when we were replacing them quite regularly with development, it would go from 1906 to 2005.
Damn. I saw the piece of the wood.
Yeah.
And you still have that?
Mm-hmm. I do. It's hanging up in my house.
Was that water or sewer?
Water.
Good. Consent? All right. Public Works 2019-24 Capital Projects Quarterly Report.
All right, the quarterly report is in the packet. A couple things to note, the East Orange Street Water Main Project and the Church Street Sanitary Sewer Improvements. We plan on advertising by the end of the week, and then bids are both due on May 13th. The other item to note is progress on Mill Road. So our plans are probably about 90-95% complete. We're working with ComEd on relocating the power lines. BNSF has been a bit challenging. There's some staff changes. So our contact that we've been working with for years just found out, like yesterday, that he is no longer in that capacity. So we're on to another contact. They've been very slow on being on getting back to us with things. Right away is another issue. We have three parcels, Bart and Jim and myself, and going back and forth on the three parcels. We're making progress on two of the parcels, I would say. The third one, Jim was going to try to reach back out to today, but that's been a little bit slow.
Just as a summary, one of them will end up being an easement of like $1,500 or somewhere around like couple thousand dollar. Second one, we've been going back and forth on acquiring the whole parcel versus just what's needed, and they've finally agreed now that it's just what's needed. It's not the whole parcel. It'll end up being probably between $5,000 and $15,000, somewhere in there. So within staff authority, so that's okay too. And then the third one, we're taking most of the parcel, so we may end up taking the entire parcel. And I think the appraisal value on that one was around $30,000 or $40,000, if I remember correctly.
Something like that.
Yeah. So it'll require city council approval eventually whenever we come to terms with them.
So we cover all land acquisition, but all of the construction is funded by the developer?
Yes. Through verbal agreement so far. So they have to, they're obligated to do it under the existing annexation agreement. But there are triggers that haven't been met yet. So as part of our comprehensive annexation agreement amendment, they've told us we have the money to do it, we're willing to do it, we know that it needs to be done sooner rather than later. We'll front fund the project in order to do it. They just haven't applied yet for the whole comprehensive annexation agreement amendment. So
allowing the court of public opinion to, you know, satisfied with the fact that there is movement on this. Is this something where you can put a draft image and share some things on social media so that some of the people with the pitchforks and torches realize that there is something in play? Or is that something you would wait until everything, since it's in our packet, it's relatively public, but I don't want to mess with our negotiation ability, but man, people have been waiting a long time for that.
I would say that the more you publicize it and make it seem inevitable, the more likely that that third property owner is going to see dollar signs and move to eminent domain. So I wouldn't recommend it quite yet. If people call and if there are direct comments, we can kind of address them, but I wouldn't want to say, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, here's the realignment. Here's what the, you know, cross-section is going to look like. We're going to do the project this year because there's still a lot of components left to move. So.
Understood. Any comments? All right. Public Works 2019-25, letter of credit and bond reduction quarterly report.
Just the standard report in the packet, and pretty slow month for reductions, but there were a couple. Or slow quarter,
actually. Kendall Marketplace Residential is for both the single and the townhomes.
Just this in particular is just for the single family.
Just for the single family. Okay, correct. I just want to make sure that.
Correct.
Because I know there was some work done out there on the townhome side around the basin, so I wasn't sure if this was covering all of it.
It does. But it's just not. Yep.
Okay.
Public Works 2019-26, East Orange Street Water Main Improvements Construction Engineering.
Okay, there's a construction engineering agreement in your packet. It is budgeted. It's part of our 2019 Road to Better Roads program for East Orange. We've been doing the design for the better part of a year now. nailed down the section of the project that we can afford under the budget. And so the construction engineering needs to be authorized now at $45,000. We are recommending to go with EEI, which requires a supermajority approval to do so.
Questions, concerns? Market zero. Do it up. So it's supermajority, which means it'll be on the regular agenda?
It can go on consent agenda. We have in the past approved them on consent.
I don't think anyone would have any issues if we're going to do it anyway. So, mm-hmm. You okay with consent?
I am.
Sounds cool. All right. Public Works 2019-27 crosswalk at 47 Main.
We looked into this after we received some complaints regarding the crossing at Main Street along Route 47. There's been a couple of close calls with pedestrians and vehicles at this location. So we have the background information for you on the IDOT approval for this crosswalk. And then Brad looked into what would need to take place to get rid of the crosswalk at this location. So an IDOT permit would be required, so that would be the next step in this process if we choose to move forward and get rid of the crosswalk at this location. We would have to do quite a bit of removal and rehab, but I think it would be well worthwhile to eliminate that pedestrian vehicle particular intersection for this area because of the number of close calls there has been because of the park and the location. So we're looking at City Council approval to go ahead with applying for the permit to remove the crosswalk at this location.
Where is the cost estimate?
There is none at this point in time. We don't know exactly what IDOT would require us to do, so therefore, once we would apply for it, they would have to investigate it further. We do know we would have to remove the pavement. We would have to put in a barrier curb. We would have to rehab in the parkway. We'd have to reseed the area to grass that was concrete. We'd have to eliminate a portion of the sidewalk to make sure that nobody assumes that they could cross at this location. And then we'd have to get rid of signage as well.
Probably $10,000 to $20,000 is reasonable. Could be more.
Possibly more because of the traffic control.
Okay. Traffic control is going to be huge.
It's going to be,
It's going to be staged. Though. You're going to have to do the outside lanes, let it cure for a week, and then the inside lanes.
It is that red crosswalk material that we're going to have to get rid of, so it does take a little bit more, I believe.
That's dyed load of concrete, so that has to all be broken.
Completely removed, yeah.
And then broken out, and there's rebar in there.
It's a shame that didn't work out because I know a lot of kids, the cross-country team and stuff, I've seen them go there.
And during festivals and events, too, right?
But people are...
Slow down traffic.
I don't either. And I've used it, and it is scary. Because nobody pays attention to it.
Well, and then once one car stops, creates the, okay to go walk across the street. And if the other person doesn't, three lanes...
That's what I wanted to kind of talk about it, because I know that, that's a really busy spot, especially at the crest of an incline like that. So, professional opinion, Brad, you'd say, we should probably get rid of it, or spike strips, or whatever.
Well, that's a good idea. That's interesting. We had prepared a memo, I think, back in 2015 that basically said that we didn't think it was a good idea for it to be there, and we continue to think that it's not a good idea to have a crossing there. It's five lanes of traffic. There's not enough gap time to allow pedestrians to cross. There's not a safe haven, like an island in the middle, if you will, to provide protection. There's probably some other reasons that were noted in the memo. But it's unsafe. It should be pushed toward a lighted intersection.
So timing, if we said, go ahead, the permit with IDOT, assuming dealing with them permit is like any other thing with IDOT, so like 9 to 10 weeks to get a response?
I'd say, probably end of summer, early fall construction time.
Can you just make sure it's not the first day of school, like Cannonball was a couple years ago? As long as it's not the first day of school,
Yes, that would be
just
timing.
Speaking,
yes.
That would be bad timing. Yeah. It sucks. It feels like a waste of money, but we kind of have to do it.
We're expecting people to not cross the road for over a half a mile in the downtown. It's 2,800 feet from crosswalk to crosswalk. We are going to be putting people in a position where they are going to cross at their own risk at any point from the railroad tracks all the way up to Seminole. Unfortunately, I don't think that this is the best way to do it. I think we need to explore any option that there is, whether it's petitioning IDOT for a grading of this intersection to be able to put some type of a island with a marker in the middle. We need to do something. Removing it, I know that IDOT didn't want it, I know EI didn't want it, but we have no other crossings for half a mile. And it is the probably heaviest trafficked area that we have in our downtown corridor, with the exception of the true downtown. So I think it's unreasonable to think that we're going to have four blocks with no crosswalks, personally.
I think people are going to cross there, whether there's a crosswalk or not.
I think instead of spending the money right now to go through the work to go in and get the permit, I think we should explore what other options there are to try to make this a safer intersection, whether it is petitioning IDOT for a some type of a lane narrowing right there, an island in the middle, something. I know that's not...
I don't think you can use the island because it's a... You
need a well, there's... Basically what it is, you just need somewhere to be able to put a center lane beacon. You know, because we can't get the mast arms out there far enough. You know, if it was four lanes, you could do mast arms for the crossing signal. There's always the... You could do the flashers that are in pavement. They have those. They're actually embedded into the pavement below the grade for the plows, but they flash with the beacons just like the sides.
I don't know if you'd see those coming up the hill.
Well, and that's it. You'd probably have to put them staggered.
That flashing light, though, coming going north, yeah, on the bridge, you can see that big flash.
Yeah, yeah, but in the pavement.
Oh, in the pavement. No, you're right. Yeah.
They have to be south of the crest. So that'd be one of those. You'd have to work that out.
Southbound, but not
right.
Northbound.
Well, the northbound, it's you're finding. Yeah. Well, southbound is yes. Northbound, you'd have to have it pushed somewhere where you could actually see it. But I'd rather explore other options before we go ahead and start a removal permit process.
I would agree. I'm a little worried about the liability because we should at least take the flashing light down. Because if IDOT didn't want it, and our engineering don't want it, and someone does get hurt, killed, whatever it is, it's going to be on us. Because we actually did it against consent.
I don't think you can remove the sign without changing the pavement. Isn't that the directive from IDOT?
But the sign is...
You can remove probably the flashing, because those weren't part of the original
plan. You just have to leave the crosswalks.
Because right now, they think that flashing light is okay to cross. And that's my worry is we're kind of telling them it's okay to cross without flashing light there. Because I didn't realize it until I asked about it, and the staff told me that
right, but we have the
everybody's required to stop there if mm-hmm. you see the flashing light. Mm-hmm. I bet you 90% don't.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you had the ability to put in somewhat of a center barrier that could put in a post, I know IDOT is very strict in what they do and don't allow in there. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's a lane throwing, because these are 13-foot lanes, right? 12 or 13.
When you go into Plainfield and you just go past their city hall, you know where it goes into Lockport Street, mm-hmm. as it turns, they have an arm over with some goofy sign on it. I don't.
Yeah.
It's not even a hat, you know, like this.
Yeah.
Could you do something up and over? Would that be more visible?
Maybe. Although I think that street, once you get past the bend there, is local.
Yeah.
And they prohibit trucks from going through
that's, yeah,
it?
Yeah, they bypass it up.
So here you wouldn't be able to do that. You'd have to make it so that it clears.
It'd be forced to
truck
size
loads.
You're right.
And it would look much different. It would be much more expensive.
Okay, they'd have to be higher up in there. You're right.
And I believe the liability would be the same with or without the signage because you actually have a crosswalk. So the crosswalk is what delineates the state law to stop for pedestrians. So I don't believe taking the sign.
I thought that the whole reason I remember Larry Wander, right? Mm-hmm. I thought the flashing light was to get cars to, you know, look for people crossing.
Sure.
Not
to stop.
Not to,
well,
I misunderstood that because I didn't think that was a mandatory going to be stopped if that light's flashing. I thought it was more to bring
state laws to stop.
Right. Well, I didn't know that until I asked, and then I'm sure other people aren't obeying. I mean, trucks and everything. Trucks coming up the hill.
Idea was once if some of the kids wanted to cross or whatever, they would hit it, flash, you're to stop. But in that case of that one video we got, one car stopped. That other car probably
she thought it was okay.
See the person,
and can't see the light.
Yeah.
They can't see the other side, but they don't.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing I was thinking of. It's a mast arm that's got lights to it.
Yeah.
Does it come down to stop traffic, though?
What's that?
Does that come down to stop traffic?
Well, this is an actual stop sign for pedestrians.
Yeah, they have them in the Dells, a lot of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're an actual pedestrian stop.
And their red lights just like that.
Yeah.
They flash for the same amount of time as our yellow lights flash. Mm-hmm.
Do we know how many people are crossing? Because at the time we went out and did our field investigation, there was, less than a half a dozen?
Right.
During periods?
When you put an event out.
Yeah, events there.
Sure. I mean, it's not going to get used day to day very much, but it's going to get used.
Well, I've seen, when I walk that way, sometimes, there's runners, like they're heading back to school, their kids.
I mean, there are people using it, definitely. It's like people said, Kennedy Trail wasn't
used. The kids think it's...
It's always used.
Yeah.
I know myself. I usually, when I walk here, I always cross on the downtown and come up the other side because there are people that just don't pay attention to it.
That's true everywhere. That's why I wanted to discuss instead of either ignoring it or just kind of all right, go through the motion. I'm okay with looking at an alternative before we start pushing forward on the permit. But do you think it's a wise move? We don't have. If we get the permit, we don't have to.
You don't have to. Because I'm thinking, like, a semi coming up the hill. That's the last thing they're going to do, stop right there. Because it's on a grade.
Okay. But just because something isn't effective all the time doesn't mean it doesn't hold merit, It's like, especially, like, if we're all there in the town square to the 4th of July, those flashing lights mean a little bit more because there's a critical mass of people there, and you have another reason to stop.
We still usually have an officer there.
But that is all the time I believe that Rich almost got hit was during that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe it.
He was wearing
uniform. That's why I think if a mast arm is there, you're blind sight. You're not seeing those side flashers.
Why did we pick that corner and not one more up on the park?
Well, at the time, we were under a different mayoral administration, and they insisted at the time to put the crosswalk there because that's where the sidewalk leads from Town Square Park. So IDOT and staff had recommended at the time not to include a crosswalk at either location because of the safety issues with four lanes of traffic.
We didn't put the flashers in until 15?
Yes.
Yeah, that was
a
bill.
Yeah, I remember that was a weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I still think
if you went for more, you'd
better than nothing.
Right, we're trying to fix the problem that we
recognize. I don't want to take a step back. It's not even that I'm worried about the money. It's just that you're right. Like that's kind of the only spot. So I would like to see it at least become.
I mean, if you take someone like from my side of town and you don't cross in the downtown and you want to go to the park, so you have to go all the way up to Simonet, cross, and then are there sidewalks on that side to come back?
Actually, on the south side.
They have that one staging lot right there.
Yeah, right in there. Right. I usually stick on the other side.
Yeah, Simonet.
So you're going way up. If you don't cross downtown.
So instead of ticketing people that are not stopping for pedestrians, we're going to ticket jaywalkers.
That's true, because,
All five of them.
Five for 360 days a year. Yeah. Maybe 4 to 5 days a year.
It's just too bad we didn't think of that and move it. It probably would have been better off one more.
They did discuss it, and I think... that you were getting so close to Simonet then that you're like, well, if you're at center, you might as well just go to Simonet.
That's true, too.
You're 800 feet
away. Well, I think they, because of the Ron Clark, you had the two parks.
It was insisted that East Main at Town Square.
Is there a way to elongate the crosswalk so it goes diagonal? So as opposed to, being closer to southeast intersection and then from that go across, like diagonally, towards the middle of like the eternal flame that says the middle of it for years? Like, does it make sense to make it a strange one so that people are stopping earlier in one side and farther on the other?
No.
I mean, you'd have to have a full four-way stop. I mean, I've seen those kind of crosswalks that go diagonal, but you have full control on the intersection where it all stops.
Right.
That way, it makes sense for and people getting to the point.
And usually it's a local road.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
It's correct. State highway. That's, yeah,
that's the kicker. They wouldn't go for it. We couldn't add a light right there?
No.
Well, the cost of that would be what?
I'd be...
What's the cost for
$300,000.
Let's be honest here. I mean, the people are going fast.
Yeah.
Some people are coming up a hill, and they ain't going to see you.
Right.
Yes, we're doing our best here, but if this is just a smaller or a different type of Band-Aid, let's be honest, it might need to be signaled.
Is there... There's no signs, like, on the bridge, like, crosswalk ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're right by River Road.
Yeah.
It's X amount of feet back from...
So it's on River Road.
And it's lit.
Yeah, I think there's a picture of it.
It flashes.
It's standard, too. That was reviewed by IDOT as part of our installation process.
I don't pay attention. But now that you said it, it does light when...
I think we...
It lights when that lights.
Correct.
It? Yes.
I think we didn't put them in at first, or they used to be there, and then Larry would always ask about them. I recall that.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, now I do recall that. I don't know how else to... I can see where it's... I mean, like I said, I'd cross there going for walks, and... One, you got to be smart, make sure everybody stops. The pedestrian has to be prepared because they don't. You have to anticipate they're not going to stop for you.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So if you would like, we can estimate the cost based on what we know from IDOT, come up with some conceptual costs, and then we can also look at enhancements.
Like the mast arm with the red flashers.
Chris suggested, if desired by the committee, and we can bring those back if that's the direction.
Down for suggestions, yes.
Okay.
Bring back in May, or will you have it back, you think, in May? From
set it on as a placeholder, yeah.
And it's right it might be a little bit tight, but we'll certainly try.
If not, it'll be June.
They don't stop for the big sign, stop signs with the flashers on.
The thing that makes the biggest difference is what Chris is talking about are red. Mm-hmm. And everybody's pretty good about stopping for red. You're programmed for it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
the yellow lights.
That's
lights.
The only difference. The yellow is like, it just means I got to go a little faster.
Well, it's warning.
I got to get through it
before, you go through a yellow
before
light.
It turns red.
Progress.
Yeah, you're right.
So at least with the red light, that's people's immediate reaction is to stop.
Get the stop arms from the bus company. Tack them to the side of the sign.
Actually, I do like the pop-up bollards.
air hydraulic things.
Have you seen those? Those are
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
They actually use those?
Yes.
Where?
Like in warmer climates, I'm
like
assuming?
Yes. Bridges and stuff?
No.
Like Vegas, they have them,
A lot of places they have them where, it's heavy pedestrian, where they're... changing from,
to party.
Public transportation, so buses and those kind of things, and they want to move them from one to another, they will pop them up right after vehicles go through. It's amazing how many vehicles try to sneak through them. It doesn't work.
Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, those are great.
That'd be fun. More like the actual railroad crossing.
Yeah.
Just cross 47 and leave the middle lane, half open. Now we're getting crazy, but hey, we're... So we'll look at suggestions or improvements as well as determining the cost of the entire thing.
Sure.
Cool. All right. Public Works 2019-28, plow truck status.
Yes, I prepared a brief status report on the large dump trucks and on the four small dump trucks that we do use to spread salt and push the heavier snows with. I also included the vehicle replacement guideline evaluation form that Oswego currently uses and we're looking at using, so I thought I'd try it out. And also repair bills only from Illinois Truck Maintenance from 2013 through the end of 2018, when I put that together. As you can see, it varies. We have a few that are fine, a few that we've replaced, and quite a few that should probably... go somewhere else.
34G for truck 22. Come on now.
Truck 22 is one of the better ones that we would like to keep. Okay. That was the workhorse of our fleet. That's what 28, we use.
8 to 27?
Yeah, and that's only from Illinois truck maintenance. That doesn't count the two times you had to go get the frame straightened. From the issue of the bell housing breaking.
Good Lord.
Can't read all the comments. There's one that it's, you know, it must be really bad if we can't read the whole comment.
Which one's that one?
The last row.
Why? Oh, yeah, the last row of Kadashar. Yeah, it bleeds over. Sorry.
No. It must be really bad because of the
poor pain.
Bad attitude.
Yeah, most of those have a 3.
Imperfections in body pain.
Previous accident damage, I think. Poor paint. Drivetrain is damaged.
So currently an extra's budget. Have you budgeted for a new truck or not?
The only truck budgeted is a 1-ton utility vehicle. There's no large truck budgeted.
So that's what I think Joel had asked the question at one of the budget discussions. Like, what do we do? So, you know, there's a couple thoughts. One is, if the Grand Reserve Annexation Agreement Amendment comes in, it's got mill road funding in it too. You know, tentatively they've agreed to front fund some public works fees. We've got the Raintree Village Economic Development Agreement, which actually will be on the City Council agenda next week. That's got some front funding in there too, so you might be able to afford one large truck replacement. From an opportunity perspective, we've got our purchasing manager out calling, you know, shops and different vendors just to see if there are any that are made and ready to go, or somebody's got like a closeout sale or something. They're usually custom made, so that usually doesn't happen, but we're going to try anyway. And then, you know, maybe it ends up being that we wait for the audit to be completed here in the next few weeks, get some figures in, and then maybe make a recommendation just to do some deficit spending. So, you know, we're probably coming close to our deadline to get a truck for next season already.
Yeah, you're already into January, if not February, yeah. Delivery date right now.
So, but the question is, I mean, we could go out and buy some right now. We'd just be spending fund balance to do so. So, to the extent that everybody would be okay with that, that's fine. But, you know, it's not something I would recommend initially.
Well, I just was curious if we budgeted it before.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to budget for this. So I think we should map that up a little bit, find out what's available. And then the difference between the $300,000 trucks and the $80,000 trucks, would it make more sense to invest in, like, 3 of the 1-tons versus one of the big bad guys? Or, like, what's... Because what I'm fearful of is that this winter that we had, you know, up until Sunday, is like a microcosm of what the next 4 to 5 years have been. As someone who is a little bit nuts with documenting the weather, as far as just, you know, watching my bees die, it gets weirder. So I think we're going to have some of these ice events, like in May, and it's like the last thing I want to do is have these little guys out there flying around, but at the same time, you don't want to over-prepare because we don't live in Minnesota, but sometimes we do.
Very true. And that's the bad part about Illinois is sometimes you do. And the little trucks can't push the big snows.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They just can't push them.
Well, like Sunday, for instance, I had two friends of mine say, even if you had a plow on the ground, it would have to have been a big guy because that snow was incredibly
heavy. It was heavy. Yeah, it was heavy and it would have left gigantic windrows in everybody's driveway.
And we're not talking about buying these trucks just to have them for snow. These are trucks. The big trucks are ones that we would use year-round for different needs. I mean, they're not just plow trucks. They are...
The unfortunate thing is that they have become so expensive with the emissions controls that have been put on them. That has been the biggest increase. That's been a $15,000 to $20,000 increase in the price of the trucks due to the Tier 4 emission controls. That's why you said $34,000 for the truck 22. That's got a Tier 2 emission control. We can still work on that truck.
Got it.
And the Tier 4 ones, we can't do anything with. Everything's computer-oriented. And it can't get out of its own way. They're underpowered. So we've been trying to switch from the Internationals to the Peterbilts or the Kenworths, which are about $15,000 more.
I'm going to say, do we have options?
But they're aluminum caps. They don't rust. It's stainless steel. And that's what we're kind of going for. So that's why the trucks are $200,000.
Sure.
It's a 10-year to 15-year commitment, and sometimes longer with some of ours.
Can you find them used, or these are the types of trucks that nobody's...
These are the types of trucks that you get when you look for used trucks.
Okay.
Everybody's in the same boat. Nobody gets rid of them before probably 10 years. They're just too much of an investment.
And if you, like, perfect world, Eric Deuce is the king of fund balance, how many would you order right now, since knowing that you couldn't get them?
Two.
Two.
And then we would actually ask for about $40,000 to repurpose one of our other trucks to make it an anti-heist unit with a tank mounted on the back. So it would be about $435,000, between $400,000 and $435,000. And we probably would not get them till January.
20.
If we order them right now. Two, you usually have a little more chance of getting it a little quicker. Well, you usually bump a few people.
It's not the economy of scale, it's the number on the invoice.
It's the number on the invoice.
Because onesies, twosies don't do much, but twosies, threesies do a lot more.
Chicago orders dozens at a time.
Is this something, you know, as we're talking about these, you know, the vehicle replacement schedule that we had done, has that been updated to reflect our planning process, what we know we have, what we know we need to be replacing over the next decade?
Yeah, that's why I asked that question,
year.
Chris.
Rob's done we budgeted 20 year, I believe.
Yeah,
because I know our the last time I had looked for it, it hadn't been updated, so it was behind when Rob had sent it to me. So I just want to make sure that that's being done on a regular basis so that we're working it in.
Yeah, it should be if it hadn't. Okay. So, and I was under the impression that it had been. Can't what?
Would you want back?
The target for public works vehicles, so large trucks included, was like $250,000 to $300,000 per year. So, you know, when we're considering ordering two, if that's what ends up being the case, I mean, then you're starting yourself to closing that gap a little bit quicker.
But then wouldn't it be advantageous to get two now and deficit spend a little bit to understand that the following year you wouldn't be spending that full $300,000.
Because you're probably buying maybe a couple smaller trucks the following year.
Or at least one of those. I mean, couldn't you take the 80 this year that we have planned for the one ton, throw that on top of the next 2 years' budgets, and now we've just hit?
I think it's like 50.
No, because I think the 80 that we've got planned is coming out of either water or sewer.
Yeah.
And these, you know, you can charge some of it to water and sewer, but you really can't justify doing the whole thing, otherwise it would be.
Right.
So that's one of the difficulties there.
We can charge a portion, especially water.
Yeah.
Well, I think it makes more sense to make this a priority and get them ordered so that next year, because the last thing I want to have happen is that we have a repeat of this year, and if that one cold snap would have lasted 10 more days and you had snow 2 out of those 3 days,
yeah, we were doomed.
Mm-hmm. People like literally would have been stuck in Yorkville, and then there would have been a full-on revolt once things thawed. So this is a priority, and I think we need to kind of bump it up.
We would have seen blue trucks running around the city eventually at some point, unless we go.
We would have bandaged them together and somehow done it. We'd have mounted one to the front of the wheel loader.
Yeah, I know that you guys are resourceful.
Speaking of Oswego, are they looking at any new vehicles?
Did you see theirs? They got a pink one.
Yeah, they got a pink.
What time is it?
I don't want a pink one.
A pink 5 yard.
No.
No.
Yeah, wait, you could go in together and you get it. They don't give you deals the more you
Who's going to use it?
Go in together.
By four instead of two. It's still not a high enough volume to get a discount.
Right. There is no discount. There's such a waiting time. There's zero discount. The only thing you do is jump in line. If you order two or three trucks, you tend to jump in line.
Right. If you were ordering two dozen, that'd be one thing.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to pay
that. Doing that.
Well, this is also an opportunity for us is that if you have two new trucks coming in, you start the competition to name the trucks, because we talked about this last week with Mr. Brown.
Yep.
These trucks don't have names. These people don't even know that Gabby the end loader is the one that's been plowing
right,
the street.
Of the street.
This is a PR campaign writing itself. But I'm 100% behind pushing this a little bit faster than we would have. So however we have to make that happen, I don't want next year to be a worse winner than this year, and then us be completely behind.
We have been working to get the specifications, so if that was the case, we could be ready to go out. We're working on it now. You can do it through Sourcewell, which used to be NJPA, National Joint Purchasing Association, so you can just ask for bids. Mm-hmm. They've all been vetted, and we're a member of that.
Okay. Like, can we talk about that next month, then? Like, be honest with yourself. Don't be buying the stuff that's going to do this before end of life.
Well, that's why we're getting stainless steel boxes now. These were state purchase, and at the time, that was the directive, is to get state purchase truck because they were less money than.
But this is still a tier 2 emissions, and you can service this one?
Yes, but like this one in particular, Y10, this is the one we have a street sign for the floorboard.
Right. Okay.
And the this is the one that the electronics are no longer serviceable. They're we're hoarding parts and getting them off eBay.
Right.
So that's because it's an 03. So 15, 16 years old, almost 17.
You don't by chance have anything that is a stainless body.
Yeah.
That, at that age.
No.
I was going to say, anything that's close
16,
to it,
that's it.
I was going to say, yeah, it doesn't, you know, if Oscar has anything, it'd be interesting to see the how they look side by side.
Oh, they're beat up dented.
Yeah.
But there's no rust. They're still solid.
Yeah.
You can work with beat up dented.
Yeah. If the public ever asks, you know, hey, what's the difference? You know, if you could show them side by side two similar year vehicles and show them.
Yeah, we need to be able to explain, number one, why we're bumping this faster than we normally would have. Number two, the difference between what we were purchasing at X amount,
sure,
and yeah, now we're going purchasing at X plus 30,000. Also taking into account the emission standards that have changed and the technology that's changed.
Right.
But also make sure that on there you have, isn't the electronics that we just got, that's what we did with the, those are a lease, right?
The radios.
Yeah, okay.
The radios.
But the electronic components for this.
For the plow.
Will at least last, you know, 5-6 years, hopefully.
Yeah. And our second generation ones, the same company, just different model, are still being serviced. It's just this old model is not serviced, but a new system is 10 grand.
Right.
So we're like, we're
not putting that on.
Keep rehabbing it.
So one more year of having a drafty building about to blow down, but you'll have a couple brand new trucks maybe.
The drafty building is coming down sooner rather than
the salt storage building is
yeah.
coming down.
Next week, probably.
Really?
Yeah. Like with them,
it's going to be one of our updates.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had some cross beams that ended up breaking in the past few weeks, and Pete had opined that if the building was facing the other direction, into the wind, it probably would have been down. Oh. So
yeah.
So we're getting demo quotes right now. They're all less than $10,000. We're removing things out of there. We're cordoning off the area in case if it does fall.
We got salt out today, so.
Yeah, our additional business update. So.
Whenever Pete opines, something bad happens. Remember the last time Pete opined? It was the roof at the jail.
Mm-hmm.
What happens
to
the
yeah, yeah.
Holy!
Just for the record, okay, so I think I saw 5 nodding heads on bumping this up in priority. Okay.
Yeah.
So vehicle replacement scheduling was on the city council goal list at some point 2 years ago. This year it got 0 votes. Okay. So I'm okay with you know, trying to figure out a way to do it, just as long as everybody recognizes that we're going to be jumping the list of some of the things that we've proposed in the budget, potentially.
Yeah. It's just a working document.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think if you don't have trucks, then you don't plow.
You sure do other work, either.
People are going to need
it. Yeah. The toilets have to flush, cops have to show up, and you have to hit mailbox with big trucks. How are you going to hit a mailbox with a small truck?
Slowly, there, actually. That's it right there, is here.
Okay, so we'll talk about that again next month, and then forever.
I will get on it.
All right, NB8. Public Works 2019-29, Water Department Superintendent Personnel Recruitment Update.
So we had a couple failed recruitments. So we had originally posted for the foreman position, didn't have any great candidates. For that, so we rejected all of them. Then we came to you and said, hey, we want to create the superintendent position. You consented to that at a higher salary range. We got a little bit more candidates. We had one very qualified candidate that was actually making more than the top end of the range. We engaged with them for a little while. They were interested with us. They were willing to actually take a pay cut to come here because it was closer to their home. Strung us along for about a month back and forth, negotiating with them until they eventually withdrew. So, on top of 2 failed recruitments, I mean, we had been hearing externally that the demand for water operators is very large, which is going to push up the, you know, the salary that people are looking for. So, I think proof is in the pudding. We've done all the professional organization recruitments that we've done. This is actually the first, I would say, serious failure of our recruitment Yep. citywide in a number of years. And it's evidence of where the market is. So my recommendation would be to actually up the salary range. I don't have a specific dollar amount. You know, you're probably looking $10,000 to $20,000 at minimum on each end. you know, you're talking about recruiting somebody that is almost like comparable to a director level and might be making more than some of our department heads, but you need somebody to run the water system. It's a serious business. We're paying somebody right now, I forget how much money.
Almost hourly. A month.
Yeah, so so there's some money to be saved there. So it's a big deal. I know from talking to people who run like Lake Michigan intakes, North Shore communities, you know, they're paying water operators like almost as much as city managers up there, just because they're in such short supply and it's, you know, something you don't want to mess with. So, so that's where we. That's my recommendation. The actual salary range to bump it significantly would require a city council vote. So I was looking more for your general direction and acceptance that you acknowledge that's forthcoming before we did it, and then make a recommendation.
Have we done like a salary survey of what this is going for in other communities?
We did. We did when we did the foreman position, when we did the exempt salaries like last year. So we thought that we were competitive. I mean, we were kind of middle of the range with our you know, comparable municipalities, but I guess we're just hiring at a bad time. So.
Since we're a little ways out now from where we were when we originally did the foreman position, is that something we maybe want to rethink as a foreman, or do we still think the superintendent combined? What's the thought on that? I mean, obviously we tried with the foreman thought process there, and then we changed it to the superintendent.
Yeah, we've got a couple of different candidates for the foreman position. Eric and I haven't talked about it, so I would go back and first say, like, hey, do we want to hire any of the people, knowing that, you know, you're probably at least 3 or 4 months out from hiring a superintendent.
Correct.
We originally were trying to wait while a superintendent picked who the foreman was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll talk about that and then make a recommendation to do some either internal jogging or just hire, you know, somebody for the foreman position.
I never read the posting on this. What are we looking for qualifications?
It's the water license. That's the critical one.
Okay.
That's the state licensing.
Yeah. It's like the highest level.
It's a B, second highest level. Highest level would be a limestone, be like what Aurora.
And so that's not the problem that we're running into, but it's a limiting factor on availability of staff at that point.
It's the supply and demand.
Where, you know, we've got our salary range, but since that is such a limited certification, the market is going to drive
and
that.
And the market has kind of driven that up, and it's to a point where
is it an extensive program to get that license?
You do have to start with a lower license. You have to work so long in the water department, and then there's testing and schooling you have to go through every year.
And does every community that has a water system have this?
Not necessarily a B. Okay. Some are C and D, which are just chlorination and distribution, which is what we used to have before we put the plants up.
But now,
with the plants, with the cation exchange, we have to have the B. And if you go to a lime softening or such as the Lake Michigan, that's an A.
Do we have anyone in-house that's on the B and C that's
we do
be
have a couple
training
licenses
for the B?
We do have some B licensees.
Okay. Maybe we just change the name of it from Superintendent to Moses.
Just thinking Aquaman.
Aquaman sounds too... now. I want to get someone with beards. Yeah, I think you gotta check the price up. It's the reality.
Unfortunately, it is.
I like water. I mean, I use it every day. So, same with, you know, the drops. It sucks. You gotta buy them and you gotta pay for them, but
I will bring back.
Been working on my water pond, not hitting it. Public Works 2019-30, Fox Hill Park and Trail Crossing.
So there's an email in your packet from Chris on some requests and suggestions for the mid-block crossing of the Fox Hill Trail near one of the parks in Fox Hill. We're in agreement that the rectangular striping adjacent to the crosswalk is acceptable and a good idea. In order to enforce the no parking areas, though, we would need a city code amendment. So the actual striping is like a couple $1,000s and some staff time. So that's not a big deal. Just in order to enforce it, it requires a city council vote. If everybody's okay with that, we would recommend that we do that in a future city council
this
meeting.
This has been a problem forever. It's come up. It keeps cycles through here.
Yeah. And it just came up because baseball season has started. People are using the trails and
not respecting
what's painted there on the ground there now. Or
right, because
they only can park on one side of the street there?
Yes,
did we
correct.
Have to change that because that was...
Nope, we wouldn't have to change that. It's on the same side as that.
Did we have to change that in the past because of the markings?
We changed it down by Sycamore to make it all one side. We did.
But people don't realize that the T stripe on the ground means that that's the end of the parking as compared to the little plus sign. So they... just park there. I don't care. We should go put a fake hydrant right there, you know, so pink one, so the fire department doesn't hit it.
They'll still try to use it.
I'm good with that.
Well, we will paint the stripes on there as soon as, now that it's warming up.
Takes care of
it. If it stays that way.
If it stays warm.
It's up and down.
That it is.
Cool, that doesn't need, like, city council approval at all.
It's already supposed to be. I mean, they're not supposed to park there anyway, so striping.
But it's just if we do the signs.
If you do the signs, then we need city council.
Step one, see if it works. Step two, if they still can't figure it out, we'll pursue it.
The ordinance itself takes, like, 5 minutes to do.
So we
recommend doing it at the same time. That way, if it does become an issue, we can enforce it.
Yeah, we'll just do it then.
That way it doesn't slip, and then somebody 10 years from... now it's going, why the hell didn't they do that? So, which happens frequently here.
So. Move forward to city council.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. That's good. We'll be happy with something.
423. Cool. Old business, Public Works 2018-102, East Alley parking lot update.
There isn't much of an update. We've been going back and forth with representatives from Imperial Investments. They've been working on some other projects, including in other towns. Generally, they've verbally consented to allowing us to, you know, cross near the foundation of the building, so giving us an easement. But in practice yet, we haven't got down to actually, like, writing a lease agreement with them and giving them an exhibit. So... we did hear from, we reported at the last meeting, we talked to all the businesses, so we are moving full speed ahead with, plans to do the option C. Yep. And so it's just a matter of getting the easement.
Keep that on there for an update for next month.
Yep.
Okay. Just my notes.
The other day there was a truck trying to get in there.
Would you like
my God.
In the East
Daily? Yes. The traffic.
There's
the it was screwed up.
There's a sidewall that used to have.
And then was trying to turn back.
There's the front support column.
I was like, I'm just going straight. I'm going up to Fox.
That's another view of the front support column.
Because he was out in 47, his back end.
It's missing boards that we tried to.
Bad situation.
If I can pass around for everybody, that's. There's only like 8 or 9 slides.
So when they come over to knock it down, they're just going to bring a 2x4.
Yep, they're just going to push it in.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not
that, good. This is the one that really is telling. That was a 2x12 that just barely sheared. That means the building actually twisted.
Yeah.
Do you see him, Ken?
Yeah.
Not good.
That's the same pictures that Pete.
Yep.
Or that John sent, so... I just put it in a little...
Yeah, I think for whatever it's worth, I think John Sleaser had noticed it on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
Sent the email to Pete and Eric. They went out there like the next day or the day after.
So we're demolishing it, and then what are we doing?
To be determined. Yeah. I mean, we've got $40,000 grant that $10,000 of it has been received. The last time we bid it out, it ended up being $300,000 or so. So we were going to go through, look at the plans, see if they're still relevant to what we want to do in the area, make a recommendation to go to RFP, figure out a way to fund it. Yeah, we don't have a choice on this one. This one is like,
is it on this side of the...
It's so one by the baseball diamond. You can see, if you look out this window, you can see the black netting that's hiding the back of our building.
So, obviously that building, we need to have it. It's a matter of what do we do? Yeah, how do we...
Do we need to have it there at that location?
That is the most central location for right now. I do think that ultimately we'll have one on the south side as well.
Yeah. I don't know that it changes the price.
No, I was just curious.
No, because this is not near as big as we need to go.
But we have the house behind there now. We have more property.
We do completely different area. We have to knock over our whole shop.
Yeah, so it's that one right there.
Oh, okay.
That's our new property.
Well, we had talked about it. If you're looking with Chris right there, is the building directly to the south of the one that's coming down, possibly taking that thing down as well and making it a little longer and bigger.
I was going to say, that gives you more opportunity to make something.
But it takes away inside storage. Yeah. That's our kick.
More space. Actually, yeah. So that's the one we had all the way down to here. This is the one.
Happy Hounds one.
No, this is the one that's on the market. Happy Hounds is here. This is the one that's on the market. That's the one I asked about, Bart, not that long back.
Well, we sold them all the lots for hotels at each.
Uh-huh. And now they're coming back on for much more.
Always do.
Just be aware of the MetroNet complaints and forward them all.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Yep.
Forward them to us. We'll forward them on. I'll forward us a clip and joke tomorrow.
Just so everybody's aware, too, I mean, we had tried to start, like, a trial program with them, knowing that they've had issues in other towns with, you know, restoration and, you know, normal contractor issues. And they had protested at first mildly and then more severely that, you know, we had verbally promised them two areas, you know, to be under construction at all times. We were pretty clear from the get-go that we wanted to see how one went, see if they could, you know, perfect their construction process before they ran. And so have we actually issued the two yet, or are they still under one?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're doing two at a time. So they're a little bit more scattered.
I did have to call them. I emailed them today and asked them to prioritize their areas. They're sending us over 110 Julie tickets a day.
Yeah.
Really?
Whoa.
Which is a
because they have to do every single property.
They do. They don't really have to even call in rear yards of 308 through 342.
You can do a block, basically, essentially, but you're calling every single lot.
Every single lot, which is $1.83 every time to get it.
What are the complaints that we're getting from
complaints
residents?
Are destruction.
They're varied from the almost getting hit resident today to left trash in my backyard to didn't leave a sign in my yard. So we pass those on and ask them to remedy them.
All the communities have seen this happen. We've been in conversation with all of them. The one thing we haven't seen yet, I don't think, is I know in DeKalb there were entire neighborhoods they had started on without notifying anybody. So, you know, that's kind of a problem. That's more of a contractor issue, I think, than a MetroNet issue, but we haven't seen that one yet. So we've been very diligent with trying to make sure which subdivisions they're in and permitting. And, so.
And I'll say if you do open a ticket with them, they are very responsive.
Yeah.
They are the most responsive of any utility that I've ever dealt with.
Right now.
Because they're coming in.
Yeah.
So they're good in this aspect, in the construction side of things. So we'll see if it stays that way.
Anything else? You can turn.
Hi.